Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. We're in part 172 of How to Have God's Life Living in You. This is program number 274. At the end of the program, if you decide that you'd like to have a copy of it, we have CDs and audio tape copies that are free of charge, and even postage and handling is taken care of. We'd like to include a Messiah book if you haven't gotten one yet. If you ask for it, it's absolutely free. And a lot of my literature. We have back tapes and CDs. All these are free of charge if you can't afford it, all right? And if you can, we never charge for it, but if you'd like to, you know, you could send some money in here so that we can get the gospel out even more than we already are throughout the entire world. We have some great testimonies. In the meantime, let's all go up to the throne of the Lord and ask the Lord to anoint this service. Father, we thank and praise your holy name. Lord, you've had me talking about the book of Proverbs and how important it is because it's about the world, how to walk in this world of darkness in the wisdom and the light of your word, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we ask that you open up the word for us all, everyone in the world, so that their minds can be filled with you. Our minds need to be filled with the word of God. Our minds need to be filled with God. Our heart, our soul, our spirit, our bodies have to be filled with God in order for us to be able to enter into the kingdom of heaven. When your word says to love you, that's the first commandment, with all of our heart, that means A-L-L, all of our heart, all of our mind, A-L-L of our mind, all of our heart, soul, S-O-U-L, all, A-L-L of our soul, all of our heart, soul, mind, and all of our strength we have to give to you. That doesn't leave anything for anybody else, and that's including ourselves. When we do that, when we're loving you all the way, then you show your love to us all the way. Father, let this be impressed in everyone's heart, soul, mind, and strength today, their whole bodies, and let them put forth their whole strength to see that the things that you want accomplished in this world are accomplished, because all of us are going to be there and see you. Some are going to be at the mercy seat of Christ and some at the judgment bar of God. And Lord, we pray that everyone will listen, that you're open the entire container, which is us, to receive it all, everything you have in Jesus' mighty name, that the souls will be saved and the church strengthened in Jesus' name, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
Amen. And now, Frank Sinatra and Nancy Sinatra wanted me to sing a song in their publishing company, and Billy Strange, I usually call him Strange Billy, called me up and asked me if I wanted to do the song. I listened to it, and I loved it. It's called Sunday School to Broadway.
She used to stand, clap her hands, and sing Amazing Grace, while the tears of childhood innocence were rolling down her face. Mama prayed at night and raised her right hand, thought she knew the way, but it's a long, long way from Sunday school to where she is today. It's a long, long way from Sunday school to Broadway. She's a long way from she used to be. When you sing a sinner's song, it's hard to find your way back home. Well, it's a long, long way from Sunday school to Broadway. Sunday evening, staring in a gospel tent down on her bended knees, there she gave a soul to Jesus and he set her spirit free. But the cold night air out on Times Square ain't what she felt back home. And it's a long, long way from Sunday school to New York nights alone. It's a long, long way from Sunday school to Broadway. She's a long way from the girl she used to be. When you sing a sinner song, it's hard to find your way back home. 'Cause it's a long, long way from Sunday school to Broadway. Then her eyes grew bright in the cool, dark night, and a halo framed her face. And a passerby swore he heard her cry, did he hear Amazing Grace? They couldn't see the man who took her hand as she lay there in the street. And it's a long, long way from Broadway to a place at the master's feet. It's a long, long way from Sunday school to Broadway. She's a long way from the girl she used to be. When you sing a sinner's song, it's hard to find your way back home. Well, it's a long, long way from Sunday school to Broadway. It's a long, long way from Sunday school to Broadway. She's a long way from the girl she used to be. When you sing a sinner's song, it's hard to find your way back home. Well, it's a long, long way from Sunday school to Broadway. It's a long, long way from Sunday school to Broadway.
Yeah, we recorded that one at Porter Wagner Studio in Nashville, Tennessee. And we're going to play another one for you that I did with J.D. Sumner and the Stamps Quartet at the end of the program. It's called Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. And we recorded that at Johnny Cash's studio called the House of Cash out in outside of Nashville. What's the name of that place again? Outside of
Hendersonville,
right. That's where Johnny lived. Okay, and Mrs. Cash, his mother, was there at the session. She really loved our television program. She just loved the way Susie preached. Okay, and so now we have some testimonials. And we're, you want to read some of these for the people out in Radio Land?
Yes.
Don't get nervous now. There's only about... maybe half a billion to a billion people listening, and so don't get nervous. All right, praise the Lord.
This first one is from Italy. I'm a girl of 23 years old. I read one of your newsletters, and I found it very interesting. The problem is I want to serve God with my whole life. I want to know if I am welcome, and please, I am not financially well. I need help because I want to change my life. I want to give my whole life to Christ. From Barbara from Lombardia, Italy.
Well, Barbara, everyone that really wants to give their life to the Lord is absolutely welcome here at our church. And even if we start running out of facilities, we'll be praying to the Lord to find more of them. But everything, your food, your lodging, your clothing, and everything will be provided for you. And as long as you keep the rules. And we have another letter from you after this because I communicated with you by email and you stated that you have no problems with the rules here at the church. And so your welcome is the flowers in May. So I instructed the people in the office and in the church to get her here. All right. And now, well, what's next?
From Hope, Arkansas. Dear Pastor Lamo, your messages have really inspired me. I would very much like to come to your church. I have been told you can come by invitation only.
No, that isn't true. Even Mr. Clinton, who is from, former President Clinton, who is from Hope, Arkansas, is welcome here. He visited me one time at our restaurant in Elma, Arkansas, and I think we had pie and coffee together, or... a sandwich of some sort. And, it was very, very nice conversation. And he came there when Dolly Parton was singing in our banquet room. And he wanted me to introduce him to her. So I went back and asked Dolly if she wanted to meet the governor. That's when he was governor. And he was delighted, and she was delighted to meet him, and so I introduced them. And then he wrote a nasty thing about me in his book, his late book. He said that, a few little nasty words. He gave us 2 pages in the book when he was president. And some people said, well, even if he said bad things about you, you must be on his mind. I don't know why he's not on my mind that much, but, I mean, it's kind of flattering, I guess. Okay, so she's from Hope. And what about, let's read that again.
Your messages have really inspired me. I would very much like to come to your church, but I have been told you can come by invitation only.
No, you people are already, it's a blanket invitation to anybody. You can come to the services. We're wide open. I guess we're the most open church going because you can come 24 hours a day if you like. But we do have services every evening at 8 o'clock. And on Sundays, we have services at 3 in the afternoon and 8. And we serve meals after each service. So if anybody out there knows of anyone that's hungry, and they'll sit through one of our services, we'll sure enough feed them. We'll just stuff them full of very good food. We have a reputation for having the best food in town. And nobody at our church has AIDS, so you don't have to worry about anyone sneezing or wheezing on the food because everybody wears hairnets and they wear masks. Okay? And so you don't have to worry about all that stuff. And they wear gloves. And they're very good cooks. But the main thing that we've got here is the Word of God, which is food for your soul, for your spirit. Food and drink for your spirit. And then we give you your physical needs as well. And then also those that want to serve the Lord for the rest of their life, and if you really keep the rules here, you're welcome as the flowers in May. All right, now, what, you got something else?
Yes. And
Where's this one from?
This is the rest of the one from Hope, Arkansas.
Okay.
He says, your messages have changed me. Thanks, Jeremy.
Well, changed Jeremy, okay. So that's wonderful, Jeremy. I'm just really glad that you brought that up because you hear so many rumors that are false, and that's a false one that you have to have an invitation. We already give invitations. We're on the air all over the world. And we distribute literature, and I believe it says that on the literature that everyone's welcome, and you don't have to be invited at all. You are automatically invited. Everybody is. Everybody in the world. We wouldn't be able to fit them all in the church, but we have a lot of land over in Los Angeles that if we can't accommodate you, we'll put you up on the hill there. So we got 200 acres there, and then I'll stand up on the mountain and preach to you. Okay, it's like a big amphitheater. And then we have a lot of land over in Fort Smith, Arkansas, and we got a pretty big church over there. And then there's some churches in Africa and India that boast they have half a million people in their churches, some 50, some 1,000, and some 100,000. And so, we can accommodate. We feed meals in every church after services, and we have hundreds of churches. All right, to just give you a little input as to what we are. And Hope is very close to here. So y'all come, yeah? Okay, then what?
A man called from Sacramento, California, who read your literature in the Sacramento Bee. He said your literature, Dry Bones, was fabulous, inspiring, and soul-moving. He wants us to send him more Dry Bones literature because he wants to send the article to his friend that needs to read it. He thanks you for your boldness in these last days. He also called his aunt in Indiana to tell her about the news article. She told him that she already heard about it. Good news travels fast.
Yes, it does. Okay, do you have any more?
Yes, a lady from South Bend, Indiana called. She read your literature, Difficult Mountain, in the Chicago Tribune. She said that she appreciates a man of God like yourself in these last days. She is 53 years old, and she can see how close we are to the last days. She said, everyone needs to read this with a sincere heart because you have really helped her out spiritually. She thanks God for you and your ministry to put the literature in major newspapers all over the world. You are definitely changing lives by winning millions of souls. She requested more literature to distribute and the Messiah book.
Oh, right. Praise the Lord. And then anything else?
Yes, there was a woman in San Diego who read Difficult Mountains in the Sunday San Diego Tribune. She said she's never seen anything like this in the newspaper. She called all her friends on her prayer team to read what got printed in the newspaper. She said this was awesome. Wow, thank you, Jesus. It really blessed her and helped her. She had a rough day and then read that in the paper. She was so thankful, she requested more literature.
Praise the Lord. Then what?
Then David from Chicopee, Massachusetts, read Brace Yourselves literature in the New York Daily News. He was ringing up customers at a store he works at when he called asking for more literature. He said, Tony knows what he's talking about, and it's good for my soul. He is saved.
Praise the Lord. Well, we have several thousand others, but we don't have time to read them all, do we?
No.
We only have an hour on the air. And so we'll call Sharon to continue on with the front end, like a few scriptures here out of the fourth chapter of Proverbs. In other words, the Lord says, this is verse 6, do not forsake her, that is wisdom and knowledge, and she will preserve you. Love her, love the wisdom and knowledge and understanding of the Lord, and she will keep you. 7. Wisdom is the principal number one thing. Therefore, get wisdom. All right. The principal thing, wisdom, is the fear of the Lord. Now, a lot of false prophets have changed that to the... what word do they use?
Reverence.
Well, I can reverence people, but... in other words, people reverence Mary. But they don't fear Mary. So reverence and fear are two different animals, okay? When the Lord came down to me in the office, some people say it was a theatrical attorney's office in Beverly Hills. It frightened me so much that I thought I was going to die. Yeah, there wasn't the word reverence didn't even cross my mind, or didn't even enter my soul. So the people that say things like that, I know they really don't know the Lord, and that's why they preach such frivolous messages about, how you should treat your wife and children. These are important things. I mean, I believe in treating your wife the way the Bible says. And it's very hard to find a virtuous woman. Does any such thing exist? Well, King Solomon said he couldn't find one virtuous woman out of 1,000. And he had 1,000 wives. David, found one out of his flock of wives. And Moses, he had 3 wives. And when people came up against him with those 3 wives, one of them was interracial. Miriam hated it because he had married a Ethiopian woman. And so therefore God struck her with leprosy. And until she repented, she was as white as snow. And she was put outside the camp because leprous people can't be in the camp. And so the Lord smote her with leprosy because God didn't care whether a white man or a Jew was married to a Ethiopian woman. Now, I've heard, I don't see any place in the Bible where a white woman was married to a black man. But, you know, I don't know whether that's okay or not, but I know it's all right for a white man to be married to a black woman, because Moses was, and God said he was the meekest man on the face of this earth. But Miriam wasn't meek at all. She rose up against God's anointed servant. And who was this fella in the Bible that had 70 children? Gideon had 70, not children, but 70 boys. Amen?
Amen.
So I wonder how many girls he had. Do you think they all came out of one woman?
No.
I would hate to look at a woman that had 70 boys. Amen?
Amen.
And God only knows how many girls. I think she'd look pretty sorry, wouldn't you?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
You'd have to re-vulcanize her. You know how they put new tread on tires? It's so funny. And all the major, you know, people in the Bible that God revered and put in the hall of faith had multiple wives. And yet today they are making that a sin. And the Bible says, you know, not that I am a polygamist or have many wives. It's just that I preach the Bible. And I hate it that the world government is doing everything in its power to make homosexuality and lesbianism lawful, and to make people that are straight, you know, people that are like men and people that are like women, you know, that they're evil, people that get married. As a matter of fact, there's tax breaks for you if you're not married. And the Bible says that in the last days, there would be seducing spirits here on this earth, forbidding people to marry. Now, those people married when they were young. And I don't know what kind of conversation a man would have with a young bride, somebody that's a teenager. But that was legal, and it's still legal in the Bible. But you've got a bunch of devils. And the Lord said it's like doctrines of devils. The Lord says, let the young women marry. And but there are people in the world like, we've got actual homosexuals coming against that doctrine in the Bible. They say that I am married to multiple wives and that I have young brides. But prove it. I mean, that is not so. Okay? Because women become women when they start their periods. That's even in the Webster's Dictionary. It says, when does a woman reach puberty? It's when they're about 11 to 12 years old. Read it in Webster's Dictionary. And why does God make it to where a person can be married when they reach puberty? It's because that's when they can have babies. And the Lord says, yet let the young women be married. Let them get married, because a young girl is extremely promiscuous, and you see them having fornication in school at 8 to 9 years old, and 6 and 7, and the government is giving them birth control pills. And so the government is guilty of allowing young ladies in school, even before they've reached puberty, to have sex with men, with boys. Boys that cannot support them. And so the boys, they still haven't got rid of their acne yet. They still need pimple cream, and they don't know how to work, and they don't know how to support the woman if she has, she becomes pregnant. And so what they do, first of all, they're fornicating, because the government won't allow them to get married, this Antichrist government. So they start fornicating, which is a sin unto death in the Bible. And then what happens? Then they say, hey, we can't afford this child. So then they commit, and the government makes them commit another sin, is they provide a place where they can murder the baby. And so they go to an abortion clinic, and they have they give up the child, and they make facial cream out of the fetuses, out of these young unborn children. The most expensive face creams and collagen that you shoot in, people, you know, that have money, they shoot the collagen in under their eyes and into their lips to make their lips fat with the bodies of these young babies. Now, if this isn't idolatry and satanic in the eyes of the Lord, I don't know what. But the Lord commands this government and every other government in the world is let the young women marry, amen? So that they can have their children and so that their children can be supported. And so they're making it a sin, too, if a man is like 10, 20, 30 years older than a woman, like it was in the Bible. Because the man has got money and he can support the wife and the children. This is an abomination to Satan and Satan's government and his cult. Now, his cult in Rome, they believe in homosexuality. You can see the hundreds of thousands of people in their cult that have molested little altar boys. Now, people are saying, why are you preaching this? Now, they're trying to, there's a branch of the Vatican that's called the Cult Awareness Network. Now they say, well, we're not, that's not a government agency. No, it's not. No, what they do is they get, make it look like a civilian organization that is not part of the Roman canon government, the Roman government. But it's a branch of it, and, you know, they just don't deceive me because I've researched it and I've found that this organization goes right to the footsteps of the Vatican. Right up to the wall, over the wall, down the hallways, and into the Pope's chambers. Okay? Mm-hmm. There's many branches of the Vatican. There's the ACLU. There's the Cult Awareness Network. There's all these different supposed to be Protestant churches that have called themselves United Pentecostals. Well, who were they united to? They're united to the Vatican, the United Methodist Church. They're united to the Vatican. Why do they unite themselves to the Vatican? Because the Vatican promises them Vatican, one world government protection if they do that. And so the homosexuals, in order for these politicians to get into office, they cater to the homosexuals because there's so many of them cotton pickers around today. So they say it's good to be a homosexual. And as I mentioned yesterday in one of my messages, that it's on the cover of this magazine. Let me go over here for a second. Will you excuse me from the microphone? I'm going to get the magazine. It'll take me about 3 seconds. 1001, 1002, 1003, and I'm back, okay? Now, what does this say on the cover here of this Harper's Bazaar magazine? And this magazine is really bizarre. Okay, what does that say?
Love story, exclusive. Bush and Blair, the intimate photos the world's been waiting to see.
And it shows both of them in the nude with a little towel around their little tiny waists. And then people wonder why everybody thinks it's okay to be a homosexual. You know why? Because they don't read the Bible, and that's why the Vatican is trying to get rid of the Bible. That's why they want you to believe that you're monkeys, animals, and that it's all right to have sex in your preteen years and teen. And some of them are even having sex with babies. And then they have guts to be name-calling people or trying to make people that are preaching the gospel look as though they're doing the same thing they are. Every liar thinks everybody's a liar. Every pervert calls out and says everyone else is a pervert. Every thief thinks everybody is a thief. Every homosexual thinks everyone is a homosexual. And they make the most disgusting jokes about God. And they're going to, you know, they laugh and think it's funny now, but wait. Yeah, they're not going to want like it when they stand before God. Because God is a wrathful God, and he doesn't like what they're doing at all. As a matter of fact, he says he hates them. Well, you may say, well, I thought God was love. Well, he is love to those that love him and keep his commandments, but to those that are throwing the word into his face and making it look as though he's some kind of a pervert, that he was having sexual relationships with women when the Bible clearly states that he didn't. And when they say that he didn't really die on the cross, if he didn't die on the cross, well, then there's no forgiveness of sins for us. And so this blasphemous organization, that is, the Bible says, is full of blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, is doing everything in its power to pull the Bible down to its own level, to pull God down to its own level. But the Lord won't have any of that, and that's why the Lord has called people that have had supernatural experiences with him, people that have been full of fear from God. God put the fear of God into me because he showed me that there's hell. I saw it with my eyes, and I saw Jesus appear in front of me with my eyes wide open. And so there isn't anything this bunch of reprobates in this world can say or do that's going to make me disbelieve the word of God, because what the Lord showed me in signs, wonders, dreams, and visions, I have seen in the Bible, and I know it's true. And the Lord said to study that word with everything that you've got. Get the wisdom of God, because the wisdom of God shows you how to walk in this dark world. Walk in the light of his word in this dark world. Walk sinless in a world that's full of sin. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, the Lord says, get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. Now, people today have a bad understanding. The Lord means understanding is to understand what he's trying to get into your thick skulls. He doesn't want you to spend eternity in hell in the lake of fire. He wants you to exalt his word, and that the word will promote you into the kingdom of God and keep you out of hell. The word will bring you honor when you embrace the word, the wisdom. The wisdom will place on your head an ornament of power. They say grace, but the word grace means power. It does not mean undeserved favor. If you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, then you deserve the favor that the Lord gives you. It's not undeserved. If you surrender your entire life to the Lord, then you deserve the kingdom of heaven. You deserve the crown of glory that wisdom, the fear of God, will deliver to you. So the Lord says here, if you're a son of God, and he says that that's what happens to us when we receive his only begotten son, he says, hear, my son. And you know, if you're you happen to be part of the human race, which is men and women, hear, my son, and receive my sayings. And the years of your life will be many. You won't die young. Verse 11 in chapter 4. I have taught you, the Lord says, I have taught you in the way of wisdom. Well, now Jesus, the Bible says, is our wisdom. And Jesus also said, I am the way. The way, what does that mean? The way, it means the way to the kingdom of heaven and the way out of hell. So if you're ignorant, you've been ignorant all your life, and you didn't realize that you're doing things wrong, and you can see through the word of God that there's a way out for you, the way that the Lord has taught you in the way, in other words, in the word of God, in the way of wisdom, which is the Word of God. Jesus is the Word of God. He says, I have led you in right paths. Right paths. Right. The right path to get into heaven. Verse 12. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered. Because, you know, the Lord, he's talking to us through the wisest man in the world, which is Solomon. Because Solomon sought the Lord, and he didn't ask for money, he asked for wisdom, the fear of the Lord, and understanding, so that he could lead the people of Israel the way that the Lord wants them to be led. King David, who was the father of Solomon, said, seek the face of the Lord, and if you seek him, he will be found of you. And when you run, the Lord said, if you seek him, you will not stumble. You will not fall down. You won't fall away from God. So he says, seek the word, and you will not stumble. Now, Sharon, you can go from there. Have you been following me?
Yes.
Okay, then what verse are we on, if you're so smart?
13.
Huh?
13.
Yes. Take firm hold of instruction. Do not let it go. In other words, the Lord tells you to bind the Word of God around your forehead. Put it all over the house, the Scriptures. Nail it in your churches. You know, I know Brother Smith in Los Angeles. He has Mountain Home. And he also has the Pisgah Home in Los Angeles. And when you go into that church, and Brother Smith has gone on to be with the Lord now, but that place has just got these plaques that I guess one of his the congregation made up, or maybe many of them did. They burnt the Word of God into wood, and then they varnished over it. And they're all over that church. There's like hundreds of them. And that's why I always like to go over to Brother Smith's church, because he had hundreds of these scriptures nailed all over the inside. And you know, it really does help when it says, you keep her, keep the knowledge, the wisdom of the Lord before your eyes, because the Word of God is your very life. That means your eternal, immortal life. Avoid the wicked. Do not enter the path of the wicked. Don't go to beer joints or to nightclubs with them, and do not walk in the way of evil. Now, I already said that you could take over, but then I get just swept up into this, so you're on verse 15. Go ahead, we'll let a woman get her 2 cents in also. But remember, no matter whether it's me, a woman, or if it's an animal. Now God can talk out of animals. He did in the Bible one, because it's the Holy Spirit. So go ahead, Sharon, and read verse 15.
Avoid it, pass not by it.
Do not travel on it, pass not by it. Okay, then what?
Turn from it and pass away.
Turn away from it and pass on. Then what?
For they sleep not, except they have done mischief.
For they do not sleep unless they have done evil. Then what?
And their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall.
And so their sleep is taken away unless they make someone fall. That's all the people in this world are doing. The evil people in this world are doing is trying to destroy true Christian churches. That's what the Vatican is all about. That's why they're taking the Bible. They've taken the Bible out of schools. They don't even want the name of God on money. Where do you think all this is coming through? Do you think it's just somebody here in the United States? When there are people here in the United States that are causing these things to happen, do you know that they are hired in secret ways by the Vatican? It may be federal government, but you know something? If you're in the armed services, I've had people in the Army, Navy, and Marines tell me that if we say that we're with the United States Army, Navy, or Marines, they will court-martial us because they want us to know that we're the United Nations Army. So therefore, there is no longer the United States of America because we sold our souls to the Antichrist beast, where the Word of God says Satan's seat is, the city of the seven mountains. We're saying that we now are the United Nations with them, and we are the United Nations troops. We're the ones that the UN sends into every area that they want to take over to bomb the place out and murder millions of people. And former President Clinton said that he was very obedient to this organization because he boasts that he bombed 50 countries for the Vatican and killed millions of souls because they feel that it's all right if we can get everyone to believe in one religion, even though it's wicked, that there will be peace on earth, but only for the wicked. Okay, so if you want to go to heaven, then you have to make a stand outside of that cult. You have to say no, even if it means my life. Because Jesus said to the Father, even if it means my life, I want people to know the way, the truth, and the life. I'm not going to allow people to think that any world system like this is right. And so therefore, people have to separate themselves from this worldly government. They have to separate themselves from Rome. They cannot allow themselves to be swept into this satanic antichrist organization, because if you do, that's the same thing as blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. And there's no forgiveness for that sin in this world or in the world to come. So, you know, whether you like it or not, we're in a war. It's a standoff. It's a battle between God and Satan for the soul of man. It's the actual battle of Armageddon. And so that's why the Lord says to put on the full armor of God. That means read the entire word. Fill your head with God. Fill your spirit with God. Fill your soul with God. Fill your body with the word of God. That's how you fill your body with God, is you read God. God is the word. It just fill your mind, your heart, your soul, your spirit with the Word of God, and then you are one with God because you have kept the first commandment and have loved the Lord thy God with all your heart, all of it, all your soul, all of it, all your mind, all of it, and all your strength and your whole body. So when you surrender yourself that completely to God, there's no way that Satan can get into you. And above all, raise up the shield of faith. And that means, above everything of the armor of God, raise up the shield of faith, which is prayer. Jesus says to always pray, pray always. And the Apostle Paul echoed that by saying, pray without ceasing. And why is that? Because when we're out of prayer, we're out of the Spirit. And some people, I hear them foolishly saying, well, you know, I was out of the Spirit, and that's why I did this. And I was out of the Spirit, and that's why I said this. And, well, I figure God is going to have mercy on me. No. God has told you that you must retain the Word of God. That's why you put it before your eyes. You tie it on the fence posts. You put it all over your church. Put these scriptures all over your home. Because you've got to keep your mind on the Lord, because there's too many distractions in this world. Now, what verse am I on now?
17.
Okay, 17. Go ahead, Sharon.
For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence.
Yes, and then 18.
But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day.
It's like the shining sun that shines ever bright unto perfect day. Well, what is the perfect day? That is eternity. When you hit eternity, you're in there and it's perfection. So right here, the Bible tells you that there is a perfect day. And there's a lot of preachers like that one from Atlanta, Georgia, that says that God loves you unconditionally. Even if you sin, he still... No, he doesn't. He turns you over to a reprobate mind. Read the first chapter of Romans. And read 1st and 2nd Peter. He's not going to excuse sin. No Christian sinner or secular sinner is going to enter the kingdom of heaven. As a matter of fact, a Christian sinner is far more obligated to keep the word of God, and it's worse for them if they turn back and trample the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ under their feet. The way of the wicked is like darkness. That's verse 19. So you start reading that, Sharon.
They know not at what they stumble.
They do not know what makes them stumble. Then what?
20. My son, attend to my words.
Give attention to my word. To my words. Pay attention now, because this is... he wants you to incline your ear to his sayings. Okay, read the rest of that.
Incline thine ear unto my sayings.
Yeah, incline your ear to my sayings. Then what? Verse 21.
Let them not depart from thine eyes.
Do not let them depart from your eyes. It's a commandment. Do not let them depart from your eyes. How are you going to do that? That means you got to plaster them everywhere. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those...
Okay, verse 22. For they are life to what?
Unto those that find them.
To those who find them.
And health to all their flesh.
Right. Well, what? I thought we're not supposed to sow to the flesh. Right, they're health to your flesh. You know what is a healthy flesh? Is a flesh that's mortified, that's deadened. And the Bible says when the Spirit of God is in you and the Word of God is Spirit and life and you've got it in front of your eyes all day long, that your flesh is mortified. Some beautiful looking girl can walk in the room and bat her eyes at you, and you can just turn your back and say, depart from me, Satan, get thee behind me. Or really, get out of here. And the same thing with the females. Or the mares or the females, okay? So you could tell them, get out of here, you know. I don't want anybody as promiscuous as you. You know I'm a married man, and you know I'm a married woman, and, you know, go away. You're able to just turn away from it. And, you know, even before I was saved, I was able to do that. Because I didn't want to... I had a reason. My reasoning wasn't a biblical one. It's just that I didn't want to have children with anybody before I became rich. And I made a lot of money out in the world, but I didn't have any for a long time until I figured out how people get rich. And then I made money, but then I lost it all. And when I got saved... I did have a Beatles album that was worth $100 million, and I still have it. And I had a lot of masters like that and a lot of knowledge in my head of how to make money. But when I got to be saved, I didn't want any of that anymore. I didn't want to... money didn't mean anything to me then, like it does to people that are broke today. I wouldn't want to be broke, but... because I want to get the gospel out. That's the most frustrating thing in the world, is to not have enough finances to get the gospel out to the entire world. Okay, now, we're going to compare the Roman canon law for a little while here. Our time is running out. We've got about 4 more minutes with the Bible. So let's get back to where we originally were. Go ahead.
The Church of Christ, according to the teaching of Vatican Council II...
Okay, the Church of Vatican Council II, that is Antichrist. They don't know what the Church of Christ is. The Bible states that they're the Antichrist, and they definitely are, because they're the ones that's causing the Bible They cause the Bible to go out of school, and they have, like Catholic, nuns and priests teaching in the public school system. And so the children that are going there are learning anti-Christ rules and regulations. And that's why they're passing out all these birth control pills and condoms and all this, and allowing the children and showing them sex films, to, in other words, to teach them how to have sex. So they call it sex education. I don't think anybody really needs to have lessons. Adam and Eve didn't have any movies on how to have sex, did they?
No.
Huh? No. No, it just comes naturally. Amen?
Amen.
There's that song, doing a what comes naturally. Okay? That's one thing that people don't have to be taught to do. So you Vaticanites, why don't you just take that out of the schools, okay? Because you're perverting everybody. Okay, then next.
Subsists in the Catholic Church.
Subsist, okay. Then what?
Subsists
of the Catholic cult, rather, instead of church. Then what?
Which is governed by the successor of Peter and by the bishops.
No, it's not. Peter was the only apostle that was married. And so they say that they can't be married, but they can be homosexuals. And then commit adultery. This is a church that forbids marriage and says it's okay to commit adultery, which the Lord says he'll send you to hell. No adulterer or fornicator shall enter the kingdom of heaven, or effeminate, but all of them shall spend eternity burning in the lake of fire. Gosh, we ran out of time again. I should have started this early. Tomorrow, if the Lord lets me, I promise to get started. This is Roman canon law, the false law that this government is imposing on you, on ignorant people out in the world. And the Lord says that the whole world has been deceived with this garbage. Okay, well, those of you that would like to come out of darkness into light, you are able to do that by saying this prayer. I say it to the Lord and mean it. My Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my filthy sins. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart, and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know because your word says so. Your word says you'll turn no one away. All that call upon you shall be saved. I'm calling upon you, Lord. Therefore, I know you've heard me, and I know you've answered me, and I know I'm saved. Now just raise your hands up and praise the Lord for saving your soul, so you don't have to go to hell in the lake of fire, and so that you're going into heaven's precious paradise for a while, and then into the kingdom itself. And right now, Sharon, tell them four different ways on how to receive a copy of this program, which is program 274.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370, or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
Now, the everlasting arms is the Word of God. If you can lean on the Word of God, you're going to make it into the kingdom of heaven. This is, I'm going to play that song for you that I did with J.D. Sumner and the Stamps, recorded at Johnny Cash's studio in Hendersonville, Tennessee. But until tomorrow, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo saying God bless you and praise the Lord and get into that word. Okay, here we are, leaning on the everlasting arms.
Leaning on the everlasting arms.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine. Leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine. Leaning on the everlasting arms. I'm leaning, forever leaning.
say, fancy cure from all alone. I'm leaning, I'm always leaning on. Oh, yes, I'm leaning on the everlasting arm. Oh, how sweet you walk in this pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting arm. Oh, how bright the path grows from day to day, leaning on the everlasting arm. I'm leaning, forever leaning on. That's what I'm saying, and secure from my love. I'm leaning, I'm always leaning on. Oh, yes, I'm leaning on the everlasting arm. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arm. I have blessed peace with my Lord so dear, leaning on the everlasting arm. I'm leaning, forever leaning. That's why I'm safe and secure from all alone. I'm leaning, I'm always leaning. Oh yes, I'm leaning on the everlasting arm. I'm leaning, forever leaning. That's why I'm safe and secure from all alone. I'm leaning, I'm always leaning. Oh yes, I'm leaning on the everlasting arm.